We've been already chopping it up very early. Tara, how are you?
Oh, I'm good. Are we starting?
We've been started, I think. Yeah, and we have an incredible guest in the corner store with us today.
Yes. Drum roll.
Very excited. All the way from the South Side. I will say this. I think one of Chicago's top five lyricists, which means that he would be a top five lyricist on planet Earth, because Chicago does it better and fresher than anybody from the South Side of Chicago. Also, just dropped the recent project, Or More the Anxious. Give it up, y'all, for Mick Jenkins. Hello. Hey, Mick. How are you, man?
I'm cool.
I've been working hard.
I know. Thank you for your own sound effects, too, for creating
so
them.
So whenever you feel, you know, when the mood strikes.
I've had to do it my whole life.
We'll get into that. That's sad a little bit in some ways. So, Mick, before we begin, and thank you for being here, we do have a few gifts from you.
For sure.
For you.
Wow.
Gifts for you. I will say this, because I was caught up in Wicker Park, but I just got out the...
You went to the 7-Eleven.
No, I didn't. But I went to a very bougie corner store today.
What corner?
Exactly. It was on North Avenue, off of Damon. And of course, we have for you. Well, you already know we got you some water.
Bro,
that would be essential.
I know it's perfect.
Yeah, but. No, drink more water. I'm glad I understand that you are a fan of the gummy candies.
I am.
So we got you some Mambas, 18 fruit chews. Mm. I don't know if you've had these before.
I have.
Oh, how do you rock with them?
You know what? I love Mamba. My teeth and Mamba don't connect the same anymore.
That's fair. Yeah. Look at the maturation is real. Yeah. And then we've already poured it a little bit this evening. We also got you some ginger ale. Yeah. I mean, I think.
I appreciate it, man.
Listen, yeah, no.
Well, the fact that you knew he wanted like chewy candy and he was already eating chewy candy just means you're a stalker.
I mean,
that's a little far.
I was in my bag, and I came out the bag with the right thing. But Mick, thank you, man. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Excited to talk about the work you do. But let's run it back. Born, raised in Chicago.
Born in Alabama.
Yeah, I was going to say that. Damn. I was like,
and
tweaking, bro.
My parents split, and I was going back and forth between Alabama and Florida for a while, and then moved to Chicago. My mother was diagnosed with lupus. We came up here to live with family. I've been here since 2000.
And how old were you when you came up?
9 or 10.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what do you remember about the early days in the South then?
It was hot. It was slow.
It was a much more integrated
situation, society, people that were around me, people that I ran into and commonly had dealings with were of all different colors.
In the South?
Yeah. Integrated, really?
Yeah.
Where I was at. Yeah, I was in Huntsville, Alabama, in Tallahassee, Florida.
Okay.
That's, I mean, as far as like...
Is that the capital of Alabama?
No. As far as like my day to day, and
right.
I don't mean in comparison to Chicago. I just mean in comparison to my personal experience. You know what I'm saying? Because when I came to Chicago, I was then for the first time in an exclusively all black situation.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like school, church, everything about my week, I was just kind of only dealing with black people.
But I think
is that like a culture shock, though. Or?
Yeah, I mean, it was. I had never. You know what I'm saying? That was a new thing for me. Yeah.
Isn't that the myth of the South, though? That the South is segregated in a way that we don't consider the North to be segregated.
Yeah.
In a city like Chicago, which is hyper-segregated, is probably more so than the South.
So I think Chicago is an extreme for sure. Like
it was like top three.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
And so when you were running around with your mom in the South, did you know when you were young, like at what point did you begin to think like, oh, I might become an artist? Would you? I mean,
oh, nah,
hip hop was popping at that time. Was it even on your radar?
I was drawing a lot. Yeah,
okay.
That's what I was doing early on. I could draw pretty well, and I was experimenting with that. I've always been a good writer. My mother was in school to be a journalist. She was just starting a career in journalism when she got sick with lupus, and that got kind of put on hold. but super anal about any word homework, word related homework. So it was just kind of like in me from an early age to pay attention to those kind of things that it, with a different mind because she was at home pushing that.
Yeah. And and you guys moved to Chicago because she got sick?
Yeah, so we could be around family. Where we were, she was she went to FAMU and she was finishing school at the time. So she finished school and then started to work and then got diagnosed with lupus, and it was her and her two kids who were 9, 10, and 8, you know what I'm saying? So our people were in Chicago and we moved in with family up here.
Okay. Yeah. And how is she doing?
Oh, she's great now. She's cool. Her mother actually gave her a kidney transplant.
Wow.
It's got her under control. She used to be on like 13 pills. She's on like 2. You know what I'm saying?
Oh,
so
right.
it's a much better situation.
Yeah. Sure. And so when you got to Chicago, what was that culture shock like for you as a young man?
It wasn't something that was hard to assimilate, you know what I'm saying, or like understand how to move through. It was just different. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm still like, I don't know. If you understand what I mean, like, I'm still black through and through, so it wasn't like completely unfamiliar. It was just different. You know what I'm saying? Like, I showed up with I showed up to this school here in Washington with penny loafers. You had to wear black shoes.
Yeah.
And I had penny loafers on.
Did you have like pennies in them?
Nah. Aww, but damn. I was hooping in penny loafers, you know what I'm saying, on the first.
Which I heard you could hoop, yeah, allegedly.
I'm all right. I'm pretty good.
I heard somebody was like, Mick can
one
hoop.
One-on-one?
I mean, in the world hoopers, because I'd be with people who hoop for real, I'm okay.
Okay. But you play.
But to the average person, if I walk in export, like, I look like I play ball.
You and you're yeah, right, because you're saying you're in a league, too.
Yeah, okay.
Cool.
Yeah, I hoop for sure. But,
So you came into the school with some penny loafers?
Clowned.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And it was just like, you know, I feel like that's anybody's experience. It's just learning little stuff, social stuff at a young age.
Being,
you know,
a new kid, especially.
Yeah, yeah. That was the toughest part. You know what I'm saying? Like, getting used to Chicago, not like...
And where'd you live when you guys moved here?
I lived on 73rd and Loomis. Mm-hmm. Then we lived on 91st and Langley. Yeah, so I was in 73rd Loomis for like two, three years, and then we moved. My mom got her own spot. We were on 91st and Langley, right off Cottage.
I bet. And where'd you end up going to high school?
I went to Hirsch High School on 79th. Actually, all the schools, Simeon, King, Whitney Young, I got in. I got accepted, but because it was such a high... Like the little lottery thing they do when it's too many people, I got out. I didn't get into any of them except for Hirsch and George Washington High School in the 100s. And we visited that, and it was a like all Hispanic situation. And I was like, I'm going to Hirsch, I guess.
Like, yeah.
And that was tough, too. You know what I'm saying?
Like, what Hirsch, was it like for you in high school?
I didn't hang with a lot of guys at all. Hirsch was definitely like a rough school. And, I mean, I just watched a lot of people by association get in this stuff. You know what I'm saying? I had one guy friend that I could really say was my friend. His name was Thomas. And then I had, like, girlfriends who were, like, you know, super cool, looked out. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was a pretty, you know, smart dude. I was a personable person. You know what I'm saying? So, I you know, this girl, Alicia, I connected with her in a not, you know what I'm saying, like in a just a cool way, you feel me? Like, and she was pretty plugged in the street world. Her pops was pretty plugged in the street world. People kind of just respected like what her and her little crew used to be on, you know what I'm saying? Like, so having her friendship was super crucial. Like, I definitely got myself saved one time, you know what I'm saying? It was like 11 people about to jump me. Yo, it was kind of crazy, and I just wasn't backing down, which was retarded, but you know.
Yeah,
what I'm
1 in 11, like, your chances are slight.
I mean, they was gonna catch me anyway, so yeah. I just wasn't running. But she came around the corner with her friends.
Wow.
And like told the niggas to get off that. You know what I'm saying?
Were they like all girls?
Yeah, it was 4 of them. But like she had a lot of weight. Like
I don't wanna
her pops, let me just, he's plugged in the street, you know what I'm saying? But one day we come out of school, and every day at Hirsch, you come out of school, you walk to 79th, to catch the bus to state so you could then take the train. You know what I'm saying? Take the red line. So there's a mob of kids in white and tan, you know what I'm saying, walking the 79th from 78th Street. We get to the corner of 79th and Ingleside, and there is a dark green convertible Rolls Royce Phantom at the gas station.
That sounds icy.
Right off 79th and Cottage. You know what I'm saying? So it's just like, for a sophomore in high school, like in the hood, I've never seen that before. I've never seen a Phantom before. I've never seen that. It stopped the whole, you know what I'm saying? And it's just like, so if you understand anything about 79th, to be in the hood posted at the gas station with a Phantom and the doors open, you know what I'm saying? And you know what happened? Out of the crowd, Alicia ran up to her father, right? You know what I'm saying? And just hopped in the backseat.
Yo. He had it. He had
That's
it.
That's crazy.
He had it. He had it.
It's kind of crazy.
Yeah. So also, I just feel like I watched a movie. I would say that. Like, Nick Jenkins on the storytelling, which is something you do.
So
but
it was just like, I mean, and that she wasn't like my best friend. We didn't kick it on the weekends or nothing like that. But like, we definitely had a friendly connection at school. And that definitely like helped me a lot, because I didn't have like a group of friends that people knew that I hanged with. Oh, if I mess with him, it's this. Yeah. I didn't have that. Like, I.
Well, it's interesting, right? Because so many young people in Chicago are so connected to the life, even though they might not themselves be affiliated, yeah. But it's so present that you're very familiar.
Yeah.
Everyday reality. Yeah.
And I think that's definitely something that, for myself as an artist, I'm conscious of and speak to, because we often put it on sides, put the good and bad about Chicago on sides and separate it. And the reality is just that a lot of people on both sides know a lot about every angle of a Chicago experience. You know what I'm saying? Like, why do you think that Chance knows nothing about Chief Keef's life? Why do you think that he has no experience that Chief Keef has had firsthand? Why would you?
When they grew up down the way,
yeah, right.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
It's just, and yeah. I think that's a big thing it gets masked under Kanye's arrogance. But when he said that, you know, don't ever forget that I'm not from Chicago. And I just be thinking, in my opinion, that's just like dog, like from the inner city in Chicago, like there are things that I just had to go through. There are things that I just had to experience. There are things that I just had to navigate. That it's just like, it doesn't matter what kind of person I am or am perceived to be, or you think, like, I understand this, you know what I'm saying? So, you know what I'm saying?
And it's nothing out of the, it is the ordinary.
Right.
You know, it is the everyday. And that, yeah, and that young people have that experience regardless of you know, who they're running with. It's exactly. Just part of, yeah, it's just.
For a lot of people.
Yeah. So, you're in Hirsch. What are you listening to? What are you reading? What kind of student are you? Who are you in high school?
Trying to be super smart at Hirsch. It's got to be one of the top five kids into school. Like, it's, and that's, you know, just honestly not really saying much. So I just wasn't taking it serious. You know what I'm saying? Like,
because you weren't challenged.
I didn't. I literally could, like, I remember several occasions where I wouldn't do like big work until the morning of, and like, get an A. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was kind of crazy. Like, I specifically, my craziest procrastination story that I'll never forget it, because I really, like, just threw this together. You know what I'm saying? Like, we had to do this poem. It was a poetry assignment. We was doing poetry all week.
Already sounds corny.
Listen.
Yeah.
I didn't do it. It was the morning of. The day before, we had just watched Stomp the Yard in JROTC class. I took a poem that I already had from coming to YCA. When I got to school, I went to JROTC before I had to go to the class. It was second period. And I asked, I was like, yo, you still got the DVD from yesterday? She's like, what DVD are you talking about? I'm like, we just watched Stomp the Yard. She was like, oh, I got to play that for once. I was like, please. It's like, just let me use it. I'm going to go first. You know what I'm saying? I need it for this project. I'm going to ask, can I go first? I'll bring it back to you in 20 minutes. You know what I'm saying? Like, went in there. I played the part. I fast-forwarded to the part right when they were walking out the club. And Chris Brown and the crew had disrespected them. Mm. And took Double or Nothing, took their money.
Yeah.
And I did my poem over that part because that was like a minute out from when Chris Brown gets shot. And it lined up so perfectly. Wow. And I didn't even do it before. Like, I didn't practice it. I just went to where I thought would be a good spot. And I kind of ended at the perfect spot. Bop, bop, bop. Chris Brown gets shot.
Which is really like sad and stomped the yard.
Three people,
actually,
like, almost
Chris
in tears.
Brown.
And I get,
I know.
Like, a.
But that aside, yeah, it
was like,
in the movie.
That was my experience in high school. Just like, I could kind of do what I want. And when I need to do what I need, then I'll just do that.
You do it.
So you are, when did, like, when did you start going to YCA?
I think the middle of my sophomore year or the beginning of my junior year.
Were you going to what U Media before that? Or mm-hmm. No?
I was going to YCA first for a while.
And at what point did you know? I mean, where is hip hop in this in your own
in
kind of educational
year
biography? Yeah.
Of high school, my cousin put me on a Little Brother. That was my introduction to hip hop.
Yeah.
That was the first people that I was listening to on my own outside of the radio. Like,
yeah.
Oh, I'm gonna check this out. You know what I'm saying? My childhood was neo soul and gospel music. I heard Biggie. You know what I'm saying? Out of my child, like an adolescent. You know what I'm saying? But when I started getting into my own music, the first thing that I was looking to on my own was Lil Brother.
Yeah.
And then it was Kanye, which then led to Common and Talib and Black Star and Mos. And then at that time, that led right into Deaf Poetry Jam. All of this exploration
did you
was
ever
happening
see
at
him?
The same time. Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
I was on Four Seasons.
Yeah,
Star.
Yeah.
I know. The progression of, like,
you know,
your
at this
fits,
point.
Though. Like, the progression of your fits.
Listen, okay.
Okay, I know it's
had
not
no stylist.
About you.
Okay, yeah, we're interviewing Mick. You know what I mean?
This has
Mick,
to be on,
you know,
record.
Mick is very stylish. You know what I mean?
And
I was not. The point is, yeah, that's fair.
All of that discovery was at the same time.
Yeah.
You feel me? So, I just never had an opportunity, and I'd be thinking it as limiting because there was so much to discover in the world of, in that pocket of music that I was listening to, and then to be discovering like that world of poetry in that way through that funnel, through the Deaf Poetry Jam funnel, was just like kind of overwhelming, and not in a sense of like, damn, how am I gonna get through all of this, but like, I'm not going to sleep until I get through all of this.
Right,
you know what I'm
right,
like,
right.
So,
and so, when did you start to write? And what
I was
came first?
Writing.
Were you writing rhymes? Were you writing poems?
I was
there no
poems.
Distinction?
Well, yeah. I remember flipping Air Force Ones to make it about food when we were kids. You know what I'm saying? Like,
oh, what, how did you do that?
I don't remember.
I mean, just what did you do? Like about peanut butter?
Nah, man. We were my
peanut butter.
Me and my cousin Denzel were. Like, my family was all at my Aunt Lisa's house, and they were watching What's Love Got to Do with It. When my aunts get together, they have a couple movies that if you watch it with them, you won't hear the movie, right?
Right.
You just hear them.
Yeah. Feel that.
Filling in the lines for the whole 92 minutes. Like, and What's Love Got to Do was one of those movies. So we're, like, on the computer watching videos. We were watching Air Force Ones. And like replacing the words and making it about food, you know what I'm saying? So it's like it goes all back to like innocence, like that, where I still wasn't even thinking about rapping. And then once I started writing for real, I was always good at writing, but I was in a drama group same time. I was in a improv group called Controversy, and we needed a poem to accompany a scene. And I was like, I could do that. And I came back the next week, and I had something, and it was good. And we did it all over the city at these churches and like public spaces for performing, and that started me writing poetry.
Huh.
That was still in high school?
Yeah.
So improv isn't like comedy?
But like we'll have a loose sketch.
Oh, okay.
And then be improv.
Like fill it in,
yeah,
that, right?
Yeah, sketch comedy. Like, which is
but,
also
but
great.
It wasn't like comedy. Like it
just
was like
sketch drama.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It would be funny too. You know
yeah,
what I'm saying?
But right. Like dark
would be
humor.
Morals and like.
Oh, but you got, you're in church.
Oh, for the church.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Interesting.
I mean, a lot of times it was outside of church as well. So, you know what I'm saying? There was a little bit more freedom in what we were doing. But like, you know what I'm saying? There was something to receive. And that was something we were trying to bring home every time. Like, so.
But are you religious? Or is that just
yeah,
like,
I was born in a super like Christian family. Like I'm Seventh Day Adventist.
Right.
Oh, I don't even know. I don't.
We,
I mean,
we share the Sabbath, right?
Yeah,
I mean, Jews and Seventh Day Adventists.
Exactly.
That's, it's just a type of Christianity.
Yeah. Super like right church 3-4 times a week when
still?
I was
younger. Oh,
yeah. A lot of my my religious beliefs lean more towards spirituality these days.
And you hear that in the music. I mean, you have.
I think that even with understanding, like, you know, a lot of intricate things about Seventh-day Adventism, understanding, like, the Bible, understanding what I believe God says, it's just like, it's not even about having the right religion. You know
right.
what I'm saying? Like,
no, I feel you.
So it's just like, why then would I focus on that and trying to, like, change people's hearts about how to live in a certain way based on that. You know what I'm saying? So it's just like, I definitely kind of move in the realm of like making sure that for myself, like I just have a real relationship with God.
Yeah.
Making sure that it's not just something that I'm saying and talking about and telling people I do and having intelligent conversation when I'm sitting around like this.
Right.
Right. But then not actively trying to be that.
Like or just
really
saying some shit. I feel
striving
like.
For that. So that's what I try to do first and foremost. There's a lot of ways that we have to check ourselves and be honest with ourselves. And what I see a lot of time moving that way is the things that I'm working on and I find that need be corrected and I find that I could learn from. A lot of times are things that I would need to learn and move this way if it wasn't spiritually motivated. You know what I'm saying? If it wasn't religiously motivated, these are just things that are helping me be a better man anyway. You
right.
know what I'm saying? Like, and I think when you move from that place, it's easier for your spirituality to align in that way. Whereas when you move from other places, when you move from being told, oh, this is what you can and can't do. This is mm-hmm. what you know what I'm saying?
Like self-realization.
It feels a lot different. You know what I'm saying? Like, and then you react to it differently because right. of that. So, I mean, that's a space where I'm figuring out a lot, but all my life I was raised on things being drilled into me and being told to do things and I
you
was
gotta come to terms on your own with stuff
exactly
right.
And I've been doing that a lot in the last 3 years, so you know what I'm saying, I don't even try to stress Seventh-day Adventism so much as like just making sure that if you get down like that, you know what I'm saying, if you believe in God, man, just really develop that relationship, you know what I'm saying.
True.
When did you start putting music on Bandcamp? Because that's how I first came to know
2011.
You
2011
was and, that was Trees and Truth.
Nah.
Oh, it was
that
before
was,
that.
It was the project with What's Up. What was?
It's too For What It's Worth.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's what it was called. For What It's Worth and Killing Them Softly. Dave Chappelle is like a huge influence of mine. So at the time, I was listening to Dave Chappelle stand-ups. And a lot of, you know, that's what I named him after. My first two projects, I named him after his stand-ups.
Well, so 2011, you're still in high school?
No, I was in college.
Oh, you were?
Yeah.
So what made you want to stay in Chicago? Or you stayed in
Chicago? I wanted to stay in Chicago, but when I went to Alabama, I went back to Alabama for school.
Oh,
yeah. I started making music down there, and I realized really fast that I needed to be back in Chicago. But
oh, so you weren't there for 4 years?
Nah, I wasn't there in 2012. You know?
Oh.
So I wasn't.
You came back.
I came back in the summer. I came back in the winter, and it was cool to really, like, I came back in the summer, right?
Right, summertime
of 2012.
Side. Yeah.
And it was, like,
oh, it was
crazy.
Oh, hopping. Right, yes. 2012.
Yeah.
Yeah,
like, I was home in the winter, so I left in January when it was popping. But, like, in the summer,
right.
it was crazy.
And why? Take people back a little bit. What do you mean by that? And what was really kind of exciting about
he
Chicago
came out
in 2012?
Yeah. In 2012
yeah.
to the world.
Yeah.
But in the 10, all through 2011, he was, like, really cooking in Chicago. You
yeah.
know what I'm saying? So
very much.
Once he blew up to the world, Chicago was just going to embrace that even more like they did. So ended a year... 2011, top of the year 2012, when I'm leaving Chicago for school, I'm coming back to Huntsville like, yo, yo, my city's going crazy. Yo, Chief Keef, yo, this is crazy. Like, I never heard nothing like this. This is wild. Like,
and you were a fan. You were a fan of Keef?
I just knew it was hot.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I respect a lot about what they're doing now in retrospect. At the time, I was not a fan. I just knew it was hot. Yeah. I knew it was infectious. The energy was crazy. I felt that. You know what I'm saying? Just like everybody else did, I felt it. You know what I'm saying? So when I came back home, and that was more when I was in a space of like tolerating and enjoying that stuff. You know what I'm saying? Like at this point, I feel the ways that I feel about it, and I'm able to because I've experienced it already in the ways that like support it.
So, but you also knew your city was popping.
Yeah.
So it's exciting. Everybody wanted to be here. Kind of
crazy.
Yeah.
And so I'm telling people at school.
Right.
And they're like, this is whack.
They thought it was whack?
Yeah.
Oh, man. What were they doing?
Keef was a very much a local phenomenon.
Yeah, for sure. Like,
they thought it was whack for the same reasons they think it's whack now. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, and they still think it's whack?
The people who think Chief Keef is whack now, a good percentage of those people thought he was whack when he came out.
Mm.
And a good percentage of those people change their opinions when artists are in that white hot space.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, you can't deny me right now. I'm at the party you're at, and now you are shaking your ass and your head.
And your head.
Involuntary. Like, you know what I'm saying?
When you're at that point,
in that white hot space, it's like, yeah, the haters are singing it. So what? You know what I'm saying? Like, and Chief Keef was definitely occupying that space.
But now that the moment is over, they can go back to hating.
You know what I'm saying? Like, but yeah, so
you came back to be a part of that movement about the moment,
and nobody was like. And then in June, because I Don't Like came out in May, in June in the summer, it was gone. It was over. So you came back just for that.
Or,
when I eventually came back, I came back at the end of 2012 after I had enough. I was like, nah. And that's
with the intention of what? I mean, how did you convince your mom?
I didn't convince anybody anything.
You just stepped.
I actually just left. Something pretty serious in Huntsville happened. I already wasn't in school that semester.
Okay.
And relationship issues. I thought I might have got cheated on. Evidence was pointing in that direction, and like, I'm not a person. You know what I'm saying? Come on, man.
Right.
I don't. It sucks because to this day, I really don't know. But, like, I had enough. In five years, that was like,
you can't just be like,
yo,
come clean, like, to this person. Just tell me what it is.
I don't speak.
Yeah, fair enough.
You know, why would you? Like, create a dummy account. No, I'm just kidding.
On my KD, so even to this day, I still don't know. But I had enough things to make me think. So, and 2 days later, I left Huntsville.
Like, damn, like, just like that.
Came back to Chicago, and it was just like, all I knew when I got back to Chicago was I got to rap better than what I was rapping. Negro League was the first thing I put out. Put Trees and Truths out about 2 months after that.
Mm-hmm.
Later that year, I put out. April, I put out Trees and Truths. Yeah.
Of 2013.
Yeah.
And then 2014 is The Waters.
Yep.
Right. And
then 2015 is Waves. Mm-hmm. I interviewed you in 2015 for The Village Voice.
Wow.
Yeah.
Don't remember.
It's cool.
That's fine.
It wasn't a big deal.
But
it was a bucket list for me that year, though.
Those various projects really have sent you into a trajectory that has meant that you've toured the country.
Man, it's something I'm so appreciative of. I'm definitely in a space that I really feel like I could. This is like a stunt for me. You know what I'm saying?
Well, you go to Africa a lot.
It's a Cuban link chain to be able to continue to sell out shows with such a bad execution of my album and a lack of music for almost over a year. And that's in my opinion. You know what I'm saying? It's a blessing to have things not go the way that you want and know that the strength of your art is so strong that it keeps you in a place that if it wasn't strong, you wouldn't be here. It keeps you in a place that you watch a whole lot of other people with great machines fall out of this place because the art just isn't strong enough. Period. You know what I'm saying?
And you're saying that about your own work?
And I'm saying because the art is strong enough.
Right.
There's a lot of artists that are like not like that. There's a few artists that the art is so strong that like you don't have to have the greatest machine. It don't necessarily have to have music videos. You don't necessarily have to have a follow-up right away.
That's
you
true.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And no matter what it does to your buzz, and no matter what it does to whatever things there are for people to look at and quantify you by, it doesn't change anything about your relationship with your actual fans. It doesn't change anything about your ability to go out and make money on the road. It doesn't change any, you know what I'm saying? Like, I was bummed out about the way the Healing Component came out. I was bummed out about the reception to the Healing Component. I was bummed out about what the Healing Component did to my buzz. But the reality is I went on 3 tours this last year, and all of them, almost all, sold out. And it was just like, that's the love of what I'm doing. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the, like, you know what I'm saying? Even when things don't go the right way, like,
well, and it's a brilliant record, too. I mean, that record is beautiful.
I'm just saying, like, existing in this world with beautiful art doesn't mean you'll be successful. Doesn't mean you'll be in this space where you can move like this.
Yes. But what are you...
You know what I'm saying? Like,
what were you disappointed about with the reception?
And I mean, I was on my way up, you know what I'm saying? Like, at a certain pace that was not upheld after I dropped that out.
Yeah? You know what I'm saying? So you felt it was like a lateral move?
Yeah, for sure.
How people reacted to it, or you wanted to be like...
Well, let's talk business a little bit, right? Yeah, because, you know, part of the last few years, you've also been enmeshed in, you know...
Learning.
Yeah, about the, you know, the business of the recording industry. And so, yeah, talk about some of that discomfort and what you've been learning.
I mean, yeah, we just, you know, we came in here blind all the way. It's just me and my manager, John. You know, and... That's what we were moving off, is the strength of the music. Like, all plans, all everything was all just off the strength of the music. It was like, oh, once we have the music, then we'll know what we want to do. You know what I'm saying? There wasn't necessarily goals outside of the creation of the content. There wasn't goals for how to move it. There wasn't goals for, you know what I'm saying? Like, there wasn't a plan of execution. There was the music. And then, inherently, we got to figure out how we're going to release it. You know what I'm saying? Like, does that mean that there was a plan for a release? No. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just like, well, we got a plan of how we're going to release it, because we have to release it. That means we need to hit up Andrew Barber for Monday on Wednesday. Like, yeah, but that's not a plan. You understand what I'm saying? So that was the space we were in a lot. And then after we started linking up with conversations with labels and me getting with Shipes, and like, that's when like a crash course of like, understanding like
what it
everything
means.
From paper to conversation. And when I say conversation, understanding what words mean and what they don't mean.
Are you talking about when you're
like.
Doing interviews, or
I'm
when you're writing?
I'm talking about when I'm in
conversations space. With
oh right.
I mean, I'm talking about when I'm in anything with music that has me speaking.
Well, when did you join Cinematic?
Anything that makes money with music that has me talking. Anything that is, you know what I'm saying? That's just, anything that is definitive in a business sense with my music. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was fucking up and learning lessons constantly.
Right, that's a learning. You know there's a learning curve.
Like, yeah. Yeah. So, sure.
But you signed to a label.
To Cinematic.
Yeah. When did you do that?
Right before The Waters came out.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And they put out how many of your projects?
The Waters, Waves.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And the Healing Component is?
I mean, it's technically a cinematic relief.
Right, but that's part of what you were unhappy with.
Yeah, for the last 2 or 3 years, I've been operating completely out of my own pocket.
Mm.
Okay.
Yeah. I was in a hole like $500,000, cleared that, and have not used a dime of label money since. So I'm in the midst of getting out of my deal.
Right.
I am operating and have been operating completely out of my own pocket for like 3 years now.
Well, the latest project, or more The Anxious, which I want to talk about because it's banging, this is then on that label, or this is an independent effort?
It's an independent effort.
Okay.
I mean, you know, for me, it's just like, I don't really care about, you know what I'm saying? It's an independent effort.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, cause you're, you
have, somebody could make the argument that it's on the label, okay. You know, whatever.
Wait, what argument is that?
I mean, it's the argument of like, oh, we're still married because we never actually got a divorce, but we haven't lived in the same place, touched each other. You know what I'm saying?
Y'all separated,
like,
but...
Like, not even separated, but like, really, like, the only thing that's tying us together is paper. Like,
yeah.
Type shit. You know what I'm saying? And we're in the midst of trying to burn that to. So,
let's
if you want to say I'm married, you can. But.
Well, let's talk about the project specifically, and I want to talk about your plan for the future, because I know you guys have been, you know, in this planning stage and in you know, in this thought and ideation process for a while. But let's talk about the record, because it's very new, right? It's just recently dropped in the last when it dropped,
maybe about 3 weeks ago,
right? And to me, you know, I love this project because I'm a fan of yours, but this to me is a return, or like this is you've stepped in the booth to write these bars, to drop these bars, and I feel like there is a kind of like anger, maybe. I feel like you're like beating a lot of people's ass on this
anxious.
Record. Yeah, anxious.
You can feel it.
Yeah, and
isn't that you were trying to? Were these Lucy's that you?
I get frustrated with not having music out. I get anxious, and I'll be ready to put shit out. I you know, I think it's a difficult space to be in, to be a really good artist, like a really talented artist, like a stark difference, you know what I'm saying? Like, because then you are at a higher rate subject to opinions that don't matter to you,
right?
But they do, because you hear them,
right?
You feel me? And it's like it does. You hear? I did hear you. Like, I did. You know what I'm saying? Like,
you must be getting anxious a lot though. Cause
you feel me? So it's just like
you don't
when
drop
I hear.
A lot of music.
And he is having conversations about who's the best and who's the greatest and who's up with who, and I don't hear my name, you know what I'm saying? But then I talk to certain people who have followings that, you know what I'm saying? And I look at, it just be like, you know what I'm saying? It's frustrating, especially when I share the space with the people on a regular basis as a competitor. As a man, as like somebody living for my life, I definitely understand. Like, that is not where, like, you know, everything in me lies. I don't need that kind of validation to live and be happy and be contented. You know what I'm saying? But like, as a competitor, like, because this, I do look at it that way. You know what I'm saying? Like,
and rap's a competitive sport.
I mean, you're still an artist. Like, you know, there's a.
It just comes out in like wanting to show people, like, look at my art. Look at my ability. Look at, oh, you like that? Look, okay, well, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's a natural reaction that I have for myself a lot of the time. And, like, that's how I be feeling wanting to release music. But a lot of the times my team be like, yo, you're good. Like, even with the way that I feel about the album, a lot of people are just like, yo, like, true as that may be, you're fine. Like, you don't have to worry about stuff like that. And they just be like, I don't, okay, but I am. You know what I'm saying? Like, but I am. Regardless, I understand that, but I'm here, you know what I'm saying? And a lot of times that's how I feel about releasing music. And so this was like kind of a compromise for us with what I was intended to do, you know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of times I have to draw back a lot of my ideas because they're grand, and trying to do what I'm trying to do at the speed that I be trying to do it a lot of times is just not like conducive to the best thing I could be doing at the moment. And a lot of the times that's been okay because the music is so strong. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But like, we're past that now.
Yeah.
We're past existing off of that now.
But you get like, caught up in it, you know? Like, there's so much music that comes out. You're like, am I relevant? Am I, you know,
you
doing
can just
enough?
Get caught up in stuff like that.
Yeah,
And that's where stepping out from your mind, like, oh shit, I just did 4 tours with, you know what I'm saying? People are complaining about music on a regular basis, but I'm still selling out this 1200 person.
Yeah, you have a fan base.
Like,
so is this project in part for the fans?
Absolutely.
I mean,
absolutely.
Cuz it feels like you just stepped in the booth and gave them.
I also know that like a lot of people expected to hear way more bars, a different type of sound on the album, right?
There are a lot of bars on this record.
There are always a lot of.
I mean, on the healing component.
Oh, yeah, okay,
I know that, like, a lot of people wanted to hear something different. I know a lot of niggas wanted the Waters part two, which I don't ultimately care about, but I heard you.
Right.
Here. You know what I'm saying? Like,
well.
But that's it. Because you can make music that is a vibe. And you hear this on this record. Mm. And also, you could step in the booth and, like, murk. folk.
Well, that's what my question, you know, so I remember when I did interview, it was for the Waves, or and I remember you saying how you felt kind of boxed in by, like, being a conscious rapper, people calling you that. So you made some records on that project that were, you know, not necessarily less conscious, but, like, like a different vibe. You're like, you had some Ketronana joints on there.
It was more in the space of just trying to explore my sound. You know what I'm saying? Like, at that point, I've been doing rappity rapping.
Right.
For six projects. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just wanted to do something else. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I done it. And I just took it as a time to use doing something else as a time to practice. You know what I'm saying? Like, in this other area so that I can then come back and make it mesh all together, which is what I was attempting to do on the healing component. Now I was in my reaction and my frustration with the healing component. I'm kind of just, like, been going very crazy with my pen. In a way that is just like, man, you cannot really. That's what See Me Now was. It's like, you can't really say you don't hear it.
Yeah.
You can't really say you don't see it. If you press play, if the hip hop pundits and the blogs and the people that know about me and don't speak about me as much hear it, you can't say you don't. And I know that other artists do.
Yeah.
And I know that you are inspired by what I'm saying. I know that you're taking my flows. I know that you're aligning with thoughts and ideas and metaphors that I've spoken on. I know that people tell you the beats that you've chosen that were for me, that have been snatched away from me before my eyes for other artists. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, there's things in there. It's just like, I know people listen to what I'm saying, and I'm speaking to them specifically, even if everybody doesn't recognize that. But it's just like, no.
You have a,
like,
growing platform.
You see me. You have to.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how I feel, and that's kind of how it's coming out into the music right now. But that whole process is for the album. You know what I'm saying?
For
my next album. Yeah. It is... I've always been in the space of creating in one way. The healing component all sounds like one thing. The waters all sounds like one thing, except for Jerome. Because I was in one space and I was creating in that space. I got hit with the idea to create in a lot of different spaces. You know what I'm saying? What if I had the best songs from the healing component and the best songs from Waves and the best songs from Waters and the best songs from Trees and Truths, and then made up to have some continuity and be better than what they were when we just left them. You know what I'm saying? Like, I would have songs from six different mix. You know what I'm saying? Like, that really tell a encompassing story about myself, more so possibly than the ways that I was already creating. And that's what I've kind of been going through over the last 6-7 months, is really just carving out these different spaces of myself. And, like, so, or more is like the opportunity to shed some of that and just be like, well, man, y'all never get to hear all of this music that I've been doing, but, like, take a window into, like, some of the spaces I've been in, like, cooking this album. You know what I'm saying? Like, boom, here's seven songs of a pocket of a space I was in. You know what I'm saying? This lo-fi, eerie, intellectual, witty, crisp delivery. Like, this is a pocket I was in over the last 6 months. Check this out. Tell me what you think about this. You know what I'm saying? This is a place where I'm pulling sound and inspiration and thought from for the album. You know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah, I saw that tweet where you were like, my speakers broke. What was that? Like, nah, I played my music for Smino.
Now for real. Yeah.
And you're like, someone need to get me some new, I don't know. It's funny.
So where are you headed from here?
Oh, man, I have a lot of things that I'm doing. I'm opening up in partnership with somebody. I'm opening up a creative space in 2018. I've been working on it also now. That is has a pretty nice sized gallery upstairs and an office downstairs and a spot that we could do different events. You know what I'm saying? I definitely am going to have like a monthly thing, a Mick Jenkins Presents type thing, and really try to affect the culture of things going on in Chicago. And it's just been about cooking those ideas and making sure that that calendar can stay up to date with interesting things to bring people out. Really trying to get on the ground and affect things in a way that I haven't before, just because I wasn't ready. You know what I'm saying? I think a lot of times people hear my music and expect me, really, because this is literally what people be saying to me, and expect me to be doing as much activism as Chance. You know what I'm saying? Like, literally asking me, why am I not doing the things that Chance is doing? And it's just, in general, I definitely wanted to be more active outside of Chance, outside of that reference. But it just takes time. It just takes being in the right position. It just takes knowing how to affect, as opposed to just doing what you see somebody else doing because you want to do something, you know. I've been figuring out what that is, figuring out how to incorporate that into what I have already going on and align it with themes that we have in the music. And I'm definitely stepping into finalizing what that looks like and realizing what that is. And that has a lot to do with the space that we'll be opening in 2018.
That's really exciting.
Other than that, man, it's just been all music. This album is like super important to me. I know it's super important to the fans, and I definitely know that it's just going to, again, like, this is shedded weight, you know what I'm saying? Like, or more is shedded weight. The series is shedded weight of discovery. But, you know, the album is something that is the amalgamation of what the song See Me Now is, you know what I'm saying? It's like, you're not really going to be able to ignore this.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
I have to ask, though. So I understand the water. Drink more water. I understand that metaphor. But why are you always talking about ginger ale?
Which you have.
Cool. I don't really drink a lot of pop.
Oh, okay. Ginger, you just like it.
It's just, yeah.
Okay.
It was not nothing very
And also poutine.
I remember that. Yeah. Again, just a few. Another. Nothing really too deep. Yeah.
I just remember those references.
It sounds cool with stuff that you
remember. It does.
Like, yeah, and it's literally.
And Patina's
why I
good,
use it.
You know?
Like, you know what I'm saying? I think there's a second layer to things that, like, not every artist is hip to understanding what they're doing when they're doing it. And it's a big reason why I pay attention to mumble rap or trap music or whatever you want to call it. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's not a, you know, Future has a formula. Actually, like, he actually explained parts of it in a documentary. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's things that are going on here. Like, there's a reason people like it. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. There's a reason. Like, there's one hit wonders. There's a reason why they only had one hit. And a lot of times they don't know what they did. You know what I'm saying? Like, they don't know why. They don't know how they did it for
replicating
real.
It.
You know
right.
what I'm saying? Like, and I pay attention to the reasons why. You know what I'm saying? Especially with sound and melody and things like that. So
plus some words just feel good,
right,
you know?
Right, you know, like, and it's like, it takes the time, the discovery. It's like, I will erase a line 4 or 5 times looking for the word.
Right, right. That's how poutine feels.
Just like, yeah, people ask me about poutine and ginger ale all the time because I said it in a way and it did what
it
I
It felt like it had more meaning, you know, just the way you said it. Also, I've listened to the waters like, so, you know, billions of times. So
it's beautiful. So what people can expect more music from you in 2018?
Absolutely. There will be a ton of music, a ton of content in general. And it's just moving into a more independent space. You know, I have a whole creative space at my disposal.
Right, you've built out a studio?
Yeah, I have a whole studio built out at my disposal. Two, actually. You know what I'm saying? Whenever, if we want to really cook like that, you know, I have the ability to set up scenes and props and displays for videos. I have a lot of talented people at my disposal, so it's just like that's really the space I've been. I've been quiet, but not for no reason. Just developing a lot of content so that when we, which we have, but so that when we press go, everything is calculated.
And, right, because you're sitting out a lot. Is my understanding too? Yeah, right.
Definitely. Yeah.
Well, I'm excited for 2018, man.
Same.
What are some of the things that you have been excited about as a consumer, as a listener, as a reader, as a you know, what are some of the things that you are rocking with currently?
My girlfriend has read both his last book and this book, 8 years.
The joint about Obama.
this new one, I just looked at this interview he was doing at a school. And that was like, oh, maybe I should sit down and read these niggas' books. You know what I'm saying? Like, I've been hearing about them. I've been seeing the books. But when I saw that interview, I was like, oh, maybe I should read that shit.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I was excited to get started into that. But other than that, man, I've been so in my own world. Like, I don't know about new music. I don't know about you know, I know about new lo-fi niggas.
I want to hear that.
Yeah, right, right.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's dope. You know, even that, it's like, I don't want to give niggas the code. But,
you can give us the code.
This dope guy, ENG Creation. You know what I'm saying? I've been listening to a lot of his music. A lot of, like, knowledge children, a lot of doom children, a lot of, okay. You know what I'm saying? Like, just finding people.
Like on SoundCloud or?
SoundCloud, YouTube. Yeah. I mean, anywhere. Right. I'm always, that's what I listen to. It's beats and
instruments. Oh, so these are just producers.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, I'm just running.
That's dope.
Like, all the different pockets of that stuff all day.
I love those, like, little, you know, deep dives into really specific
and
that's
shit. That's where I'd be at. Like, yeah. I don't know, like, I think that, I got Daniel Caesar, but, like, even that is like, force fed that through my girl, but I love it though. Like,
right.
I really do love it. You know what I'm saying? Like, but it's like,
does your girl periodically sit you down and be like, "Yo, this is good for you.
Nah.
Check it out, please."
I'll be with her. Whatever she's playing, I'll let her take over the aux. I rock out. You know what I'm saying? I just been hearing so much Daniel Caesar over the last 5-6 months. It's just like, I'm definitely a fan now. So that Georgia Smith.
Oh, I love. Love her.
Yeah, but
so
other
much.
Than that, honestly, those are probably the only two people who found their way as far as 2017. I've been so focused on executing what we're trying to do.
So is there anything you've been sleeping on? It doesn't have to be music, just anything in general. And also,
that I've been sleeping on?
Yeah.
I wouldn't know.
Okay, my other question though. Favorite Chicago slang? I feel like that could be a weekly question.
Favorite Chicago slang? You know what? That's funny. Charlie. It's funny because nobody says that anymore. You know what I'm saying? Like, only super old heads.
So
like,
you got to define it and also put, like,
Charlie
use it in
just
a sentence.
Of
noun, verb.
Charlie is like fam or
oh,
Joe.
Oh, true. Right, I was going to say Joe, yeah.
Bro, like, but only super old heads say that. You know what I'm saying? Like, nobody says that. People wasn't saying Charlie when I was in high school. You know what I'm saying? And it'd be like, hey, Charlie, what's good, man? You know what I'm saying? Like, just something like that. It's just a reference for a person. But, like, that's what I'm saying. Even when I was young, kids didn't say that. Like, when I was young, adults said that. My uncle
said okay.
That. You know what I'm saying? Like, so it's not even.
Some sort of nostalgia attached.
It's so weird to me. Like.
Like, you wouldn't say it.
Where did that come from? It's not. It's Charlie, but it's Chale.
Yeah. Right. You but would you say it?
Nah.
Oh.
Like, nah. Like, because I don't. Nobody communicates like that.
Right,
you know
yeah.
And you're not that old.
To the old head that would say that, that's not how I would address him. You know
right.
What I'm saying? Like, so it's just like, it's always been a weird thing to me. I've always thought about that one. Like, man, like, where did that come from? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I think that's one. It's always funny to me. A little
yeah.
Trouble, you feel?
I'm curious about the etymology of that word.
You know, before we get out, I do wonder about fashion. I do wonder about mm-hmm. clothing. I mean, it seems to be a big part of how you share yourself with the world.
Yeah.
Where does that come from, and how important is that? I mean, you're very fly. Salutes. Yeah.
That was another reason I chose to go to Hirsch. At the time, George Washington was wearing uniforms, and for the first 2 years I was at Hirsch, Hirsch wasn't. So I was like, oh, I'm over here with this no uniform shit. You know what I'm saying? So,
penny loafers.
My dad was like super clean suits, nice shoes, Kiwi in every color. You know what I'm saying? Like, just like, like, I was paying attention, you know, and so I don't dress like him, but just develop my own style. And it's just a way that I express myself now, you know, and I think that it's a thing for me to come from where I come from and come up how I've come and be connected to the people I'm connected to and, like, have the perspective that I do and still, like, dress the way that I do. I think it's surprising for people. I think people don't expect it. I think people expect a certain thing, seeing that. And I think that people are often surprised, delighted, put at ease when it's not what they expected because of the perception that they might receive, whether good or bad. It's not always a bad thing, but it's just an inaccurate thing. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I just love the ability to be able to kind of affect that with clothes. I like it anyway. It makes me feel good about myself.
Do you think about descriptors, or how would you tell somebody what your style is? Do you think about?
I think I try to be really clean. I think I like a lot of different things. I like a lot of different styles, and I think on any given day you can see me. You know what? Rello from Fat Tiger.
Salutes.
He calls me the juxtaposition. He says, I don't know if I want to be a streetwear nigga or a high fashion nigga.
But that's that lowbrow, highbrow type of shit.
He's like, yeah, I'm going to call you the juxtaposition. And that's where I feel like I could do some super sporty shit. I feel like I could do
yeah,
some
super
sporty shit. I feel like I could do some, you know, I could pull off the Timbs and I feel like I could pull off a whole Y3 fit, you know what I'm saying? But
right.
Usually I'm somewhere around like this advanced contemporary J. Crew nigga.
You advanced know? Contemporary, okay.
You know what I'm saying?
He thought about this. Then.
J. Crew is going to give you the wrong idea, but it's not all the way super contemporary, you know what I'm saying? But like it just be like whatever. It's a clean base, usually.
Right.
Whatever the break from that is, there's a pop of something, so it's going to be a pop of...
Like your yellow shoes.
Cut or yeah. Color, you know what I'm saying? Like, so if it's cut, then it's going to be this contemporary jacket that has no buttons, and it's a monk collar, and you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
If it's colored and everything's cool, but there's just
I mean, your cap.
Yeah. Just
It looks like a baseball cap you know, that so you cut.
Today is the shoes. Like, oh, man, the thing that makes you comment, you know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
So I usually just try to be really cool and then have something that, you know.
But is that a baseball cap that you cut?
No, this is a sailor's cap, actually.
Oh,
this
I see.
It's called a Mickey hat.
I've never seen that color
it's
like that.
It's worn by nautical men.
Is that part of your no, style?
It does figure. I feel
nautical.
Like, I feel like that's.
You know what? It's actually one of the few hats that I like on my head. A lot of hats I don't like on my
head. You don't? Do you do like the rolled hat often?
No, it's
not, just that
it's
one.
Not rolled.
It's sold out. Oh, it's not rolled. It's okay. Just, yeah. I've seen the beanies rolled.
And
right?
Because it's like that, you fail to realize how long
your head is.
My head is. Yeah.
Okay. I wasn't sure if you were going there, but I was like your hair.
That was one of the early rap names. Long head. Mick.
No,
good. I do want to say, just because it's you know that your crown tonight also reminds me of what Easton Kelly would make and
oh on, yeah on, no, on people the, keep thinking it's his
for yeah
sure.
Yeah, yeah like, and
well,
I just
what did
say,
he make I didn't
well,
know
he,
that
he,
well
no he made these crowns that were you know essentially like you know cut baseball caps snapbacks that were crowns similar to what Mick
oh,
was wearing tonight
real?
Which
no,
is
somebody
yeah.
today said I fuck with the Easton Kelly I was like word
yeah
oh so it's like the Easton Kelly
yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And I just want to say on this day I mean this
R.
is R. also
yeah
yeah rest
sure.
in peace to Easton and salutes to him and the you know his family who are mourning today Mick, we're so grateful to you and to your contribution to not only Chicago but hip hop culture to the literature that this generation has made and that you will continue to make. 2018 is going to be a real stand up year for you, and
Definitely.
we're so grateful for you, man, and thanks for joining
thank you
us in the corner store, man. Appreciate you.
Yeah, that's
thank
dope.
You, man. Always.
Shout out DJ Exist for the beat and Langston Austin for the artwork. The Corner Store is recorded at the WGN Radio Studios and produced by Mike Heideman. I'm Marlena, the co-producer, and I also run social media, so follow us at Shy Corner Store on Twitter and IG.